name is Gershon Furnan. On behalf of Project Inspire, the Muncie Vadatzala, the members who are here who have been helping to promote all of the wonderful work of the late great Rosh Yeshiva of Noach Weinberg, who've come and made this program and many others possible. We appreciate you coming, taking out from your busy schedules, and joining us to hear Mori HaRav, Rav Israel Tauber, who has generously given up his time once again, as he does around the world, as part of his efforts with Shalhevis in sharing the Ikurei Hamuna of our people, giving Jews from all backgrounds, Kiruv Karovim, Kiruv Rachokim, a newfound life and vigor in helping them forge a relationship with the Rabbono Sholem, which is so vital to the work that we're doing in Project Inspire, which is to, as our movement, our grassroots movement stands for, is really to bring an opportunity, a vital opportunity to every Jewish home to have the Aleph Beis, the Rosh Tevos, of how easy and successful with the tremendous siyata de Shemaya that we've seen, to be able to share our Torah, our heritage, our Mesorah with those within our Dalet Amos, whether it be at work, whether it be a relative, whether it be somebody you meet at a store. It's all possible with a warm smile to make a difference in someone's life. Mr. Weberman, who was a member of the shul, and his daughter Leora just got up. We're dedicating this year in the memory of Shalom Mordechai ben Yehuda, who really stood for what Project Inspire is all about. 95% of everything we do is caring for another Jew. And that's exactly what he did. People loved him because he loved every Jew. And they would come close to Torah because he loved them. And that's really what this is all about. A little love, a little care, and how to put a yediyah of emes, which is so lacking in this world, can make all the difference in the world. We talk about crisis. That word has come out quite a bit. If anybody's been following the president, the words of Congress, but 93% of Americans are still working. The last time I was in Pathmark, the shopping aisles were full of food. And people are getting on with their lives. But 90% of Jews have very little relationship to anything Jewish and hardly any Jewish education. And we need to bring our children home, the Rabbono Sholem's children home, our brothers and sisters home. And that's what Project Inspire is all about. And each of you can play a vital role and are playing a vital role by being here tonight. We're making this very possible and practical by giving you the information you need to be successful without any additional time or money from your schedules. And we're providing you information tonight in the way of 5 easy ways to reach out on Pesach. Each of you should have this sheet. And the first one is assignment number 1. We always like to send people home with homework assignments, a very nice set of cards that's applicable to any Jew with any background to share at their Seder. So your homework assignment is between now and Pesach to either mail or to give this to somebody you know and make a difference in their Seder. And then you can call them up afterwards and ask them how their Seder was. And then you can go on to step number 2 and send them an email or send them a short video or perhaps some other article of interest, maybe some Passover recipe. You could call them over to your home, have them to your home for Chol HaMoed. If you have a closer relationship, you can invite them to matzah baking or perhaps beer chametz and make a huge difference in the lives of those who have never seen anything this before. One thing you won't see on this list, it's something I want to share with you, a personal story I have with Rav Tauber. I've had the schus to have known Rav Tauber for over 30 years now, probably older than some people in this room. And the sixth item that's not on this list is something Rav Tauber did for me. Would any of you be willing to take on the following? Item number six, call somebody you don't know in another state 1,000 miles away and invite them to Muncie for Pesach. The problem is they don't speak the same language as you, and you won't even be able to invite them to your home for Pesach. And you have no way of necessarily getting them there, and you're not going to offer them a plane ticket, but you're going to call and you're going to ask to invite them to come to your community, never having met this person before. So that, my friends, is what Rav Israel Tauber did for me 30 years ago. He called me when I was at Duke University, never met him before, didn't know who he was, and he says, why don't you come for Pesach? And it was just this year, the way it is set up. Thursday and Friday was Yontiv. The next Wednesday and Thursday was Yontiv. It was only 2 days Chol HaMoed. Simple logic said, you're only missing 2 days of classes. You'll come, you'll have a beautiful Pesach. And Baruch Hashem, I listened to the Rav, and I came to Muncie. And that began a long, enduring relationship with this community. We've been here, my family and I, for over 25 years. Studied at Or Sameach for 2 years. And have had an ongoing relationship at Or Sameach, which the Rav helped found many years ago. And to him I am very deeply indebted. And I thank him so much for being here and sharing with us. After the presentation, very important, Rav Chaim Leibowitz is going to go through a little bit of the special things that he's doing in Muncie with some of the Chassidish Olam that he's been involved with, some very special things, and we'll be telling you about this card that we would ask each of you to fill out. And without any further ado, I ask the Rav to please come and address us.
Obviously, this lecture must be important, so heavily advertised, and Hashem made sure I should lose my voice. I have no cold, just lost my voice. Probably somebody stays in our way. We have to know the mission which inspired to come. It's not a simple thing. The Rambam gave us 13 principles of beliefs. The 12th of that is, we have to believe in the coming of Mashiach, and we have to await him. Waiting Mashiach means that you really expect him, that you really feel that you deserve him. If we would ask ourselves, why should Mashiach come to us? To the Chofetz Chaim, it didn't come. To the Riyah Kodesh, it didn't come. To the Bekiva, it didn't come. For 2,000 years, we're waiting him. Why should we deserve him? On what ground are you waiting him? Can you answer the question? The answer is, as Malachi, the Novi, the prophet, concluded the last era of prophecy, Hine Anochi Shelech Lechem Ezeli Novi. לפני בו יום השם הגודל והנוידו, וישיב לבוב הסלבונים ולבונים על אבו יסם. מלאכי says, in order Mashiach to come, we have to conclude the way we began. We have two Torahs. We have Torahs Moshe. Zichru Torahs Moshe Avdi. Moshe teached us how to be Jews. Moshe had not taught us why to be Jews. That you wouldn't find in Torah's Moshe. Therefore, most of us, we don't know how to sell Judaism. It is no mitzvah to make Jews. Who made Avraham Avinu? That's Torah's voice. There's two teachings. Torah is a teaching. There's a teaching of Moshe, how to be a Jew. We all, Baruch Hashem, graduates of that, that we are Jews. We learn schools, yeshivas. That we have. And we do pretty good. There was never a time as rich in the yeshiva world, in the school systems, marks, Baruch Hashem, on how to be a Jew. But you ask anyone, tell me why to be a Jew. Why does it pay to be Jewish? Can you sell Judaism? You don't know. That's Torah's voice. Torah's voice. Why did Avraham Avinu become a Jew? What is bad to be Noach Tzaddik? What is bad to be a Noach? So let me tell you a story which took place. Two stories, almost the same time, about 28 years ago. It's not a coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence. One story happened in Ponovich, in Bnei Brak. The other story happened in Lakewood. In Ponovich, I was a boy, a very nice yeshiva boy. He was the son of a convert. The mother was a convert, a Gioris. Had a wonderful family, all his siblings, Bnei Torah, real Bnei Torah. And he was the oldest. Came time of Shiduchim, and he started talking Shiduchim. As research was made, came out, the mother first converted to Reform, and then this boy was born. Then she reconverted Orthodox, and then the siblings were born in the old group, beautiful Bnei Torah. But obviously came out that this boy, the oldest one, is a goy. He was born after the Reform conversion. The yeshiva called him into the office, and he says to him, you know, Lemaise, you're a regular goy. But no problem. We will take three rabbonim. We're going to make a giur, kalocha, conversion. And you the ger. You're not the son of a convert, you the ger himself. He says, yes, I prefer to stay a goy. What's wrong to be a goy? And we know achzadik. I'm guaranteed I have everything, I have both worlds. Why do I need it for? He said, what? You're leaving Judaism? You're Talmid Chochem. How come? He says, why should I? Will I ever become a first-class Jew? What do I need it for? What do I need the headaches for? And I tried to discuss it with him. He's being told that she was literally sick. I raised a yeshiva boy, a good boy, show me Torah mitzvahs. The minute he found the door open, he left. And almost in the same time, a similar situation came up in Lakewood. A boy which was an adopted child, usually an adopted child, a Jewish child, they make a conversion of Tanai Besdin as an infant. And the loch is, when he becomes an adult after bar mitzvah, he has to validate him. He says, okay, you tell him, we converted you. He says, okay. And becomes a regular Jew. This boy never knew that he's adopted. They didn't tell him. He became 23. They started in Shiduchim. Finally, they had to tell him, and they told it to him. He says, actually, we made a gear on you. All you have to say, okay. He said, it's not okay. I prefer to stay a goy. And he remained a goy. It was a whole upheaval, the Mashgiach, the Sheshivas, the family. Why should I? And he stood out, both of them. I'm a little bit involved in chinuch. I'm dealing one-to-one. And I made my personal research, and I got quite a high percentage of people saying they were right. And I'm, of course, not going to make a research here. I'm not going to ask you to answer, but answer it to yourself. If you would be today the most fortunate goy, you would be Noach Tzaddik himself. You're guaranteed your oilam chabu of chasid imus oilam. Noach had a very beautiful title, Noach Tzaddik. Tomim hoim, Noach motzachem bein Hashem. Noach find kindness in the eyes of Hashem. You, Noach, would you leave that position of Noach, having such a nice title in the Torah, and step into your own shoes where you are today with all your problems, begashmis and ruchnias? Would you? Yes or no? And they say, why should I? How can you sell Judaism? And here comes the question. You're making a bracha every morning, Shloi Sani Goy. Thank you, Hashem, that you created me a Jew. And what are you thanking? If you find the door open, we would leave. And I asked many, many questions, many, many caller guys. Why should you stay in it? What do you need the problems for? You could serve Hashem as a Menoach. So here comes the question, what was Avraham Avinu? Now this sugya, what made Avraham Avinu to become Avraham Avinu? And let's ask the question even further. That's called Torah Se'ovos. And I want you to know, this sugya has to be learned, because this is exactly what Elinov is preparing us before Mashiach coming. The Rambam paskens lahalocha, and the Moral explains it in detail. Ein Yisroel nigalim elo b'tshuva. We will not have Mashiach unless we do tshuva. Without tshuva, there's no Mashiach. So how will we do tshuva? Says the Rambam continues, Nyuchas tshuva. Kareftich alon tarisein ha'gdoisho. Our Torah promised us Tassidim Yisroel laso is tshuva b'sov gelusam. That eventually Jews are going to do tshuva in the end of the Golos. Like the Pasuk says, you're going to go to all history, and you're going to turn in your heart. While in the midst of the goyim, where Hashem pushed you out, you're going to return to Hashem. And the Rambam says this pasuk is haftoch, is a promise that eventually you're going to do tshuva. Tshuva on what? Tshuva of the reason of the Golos. Tshuva is not because he didn't practice Torah mitzvahs. Now the reason of Golos says the Torah very clearly. Not because he didn't practice Torah mitzvahs. Tachas asher lo avadat Hashem Elokecho b'simcho b'tov levov mirav kol. While you served Hashem, you did everything what's supposed to be done. But you didn't do it with joy, with good heartness. You were not happy being Jewish. You were stuck in Judaism. That was the sibah of the Golos. And we have to do tshuva. And the reason of the Golos, that means we have to start learning, why should I be happy that we are Jews or not? Why should I be happy? Rabbi Gershon mentioned before that I'm running Shalheves. Shalheves is a kid of craving program. We make at least over the year, at least 15, 18 seminars for from people. In Eretz Yisrael, most of them, some of them in America, Chassidish guy, Yiddish, Hebrew, English, in Europe. And I say in every seminar, by the opening, why do you come? You're all wonderful people, all religious. We're not going to tell you Musar. We're not going to tell you change your lifestyle. We're not going to tell you new halachas. One thing we promise you, we are all lying, including myself. And let's stop lying. Let's stop lying. I could only promise you that you're going to go home in the end of the seminar on the clouds, happy that you're Jewish. What do you mean you're lying? Do we realize Elyonovi, the same Elyonovi, which is preparing us for Torah Se'ovos, for Mashiach, to do tshuva, to learn the Torah of our Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Why did he become Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? That's the teaching. That Elyonovi speaks to us every morning, and we quote him word by word, and most of us don't even know the Elyonovi's statement, but we sing it every morning. Let's see if he's lying or not. Every morning before davening, we start off, Lo'ilam Yehei Odom Yerei Shomayim. The first thing, be a mensch, they say to Baal Musa, Lo'ilam Yehei Odom, be a mensch. With what? Moidele Emes, admit the truth, articulate the truth, understand the truth. And that truth which you articulate, in your mind you could articulate the truth. Your heart may not agree with it. Your heart may not feel it. But v'dayver emes bilvovoi, take that truth and speak it into your heart. V'yashkem v'yoymar, and get up and say, what should you say? Who are we? What are we? We are nothing. True. Aval anachnu amcho b'nei b'risecho. After all, we are the children b'nei Avraham Avecho, and the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yechidech, and so on and so on. And you conclude, Ashreinu, Matav Chalkeinu, Manim Goyderleinu, Mayovir Shaseinu, Shemashkimarim Pemaim, Yamoim Shema Vahafto. We're fortunate, we're so happy with everything which we got. I'm happy with myself, happy with my family situation, I'm happy with my parents, I'm happy with my children. That we get up every morning, every night with the Shema Vahafto. You know what Shema means? Kabbalah Samach Shema. Actually, it means I'm validating my Jewishness. Vahafto Shem Aleichu Lav B'chol Levavcha, with both of your hearts. Chol Nafshecha, even takes your life away, you're sick. Chol Moedecha, Chol Moedecha, financially you're flat. Dovarach B'chol Moedecha, Chol Mido Umido Shem Moeded Loch, have a moidelo mod mod. No matter what Hashem measures up to you, pain, difficulties, thank Him very, very, very much. That we say every morning, every night. We just said it tonight. Validating your Jewishness. That means to say, I'm thanking Hashem for everything which I have. Let's be honest. Are we living up to that? Do you know what we're talking about? And that is our that is the newest message. If you want to be able to sell Judaism to somebody else, you have to first sell it to yourself. And the first parsha is Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, accepting the yoke of heaven unconditionally. Love Hashem unconditionally. And then you say, this thing which you just said should be always on your heart. Vishinantum levonecho sechazal ilu talmidim. Put up disciples. Make talmidim of that. In other words, if you want to be yoitz, the Rabbeinu Yoina says, I'm not going to get into lengthy discussion on that. The Rabbeinu Yoina says, all the mitzvahs which we are saying in the first parsha is actually repeated to say the same thing in the second parsha. Remadatem ezvenechem vidibartem bom. Tefillin, mezuzah, we sang it in the second parsha, but it's the repeat. In the first parsha, it's all Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. We accept the yoke of heaven. We validate our Jewishness. It's conversion. It's Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're accepting. Why these five mitzvahs is mentioned in the first parsha? Says the Rabbeinu Yoina, the source of the mitzvah is not in this parsha. That's in the second parsha. The second parsha, Kabbalah Sol Torah Mitzvahs. Lahav Hashem Elokechem, v'dibartu bom, lov d'mochol levavchem, v'chol nafshechem, tefillin mezuzah. The mitzvah is mentioned in the second parsha. So why is it those mitzvahs repeated in the first parsha? Says Rabbeinu Yoina, those are dinim of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. And that will give us the understanding why in the second parsha it says, l'maratem es b'nechem, teach your children into your children. Why in the first parsha, Levonecho, say the Chazal ilu talmidim. You have to put up talmidim. Make a other Jew. Why? The answer is, if you can't put up a talmid to make him become Jewish, it's a proof that's missing your own Jewishness. You're not happy to be Jewish. If you don't see it on your face, Hashreinu matav chalkeinu manim goyderleinu, it's missing in your own Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. If you can't teach somebody else Judaism, means you're missing it yourself. And having it does not mean that you give lectures. Having it means that you live it. I'm accepting it. You say, how many times a day you say, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the problems which you have. Maybe the best way I will explain it with a real anecdote. A few years ago, 3 years ago, a Jew came to me complaining bitterly. I never had a good day in my life. I don't know what Hashem wants from me. I was born in a family. My father is a total mishugana. My mother is totally out. Our home was a total hell. I suffered. It was a great madhouse. A Gehenna. I was thrown out from yeshiva to yeshiva. So I thought, okay, not forever going to live in this hell. One day I'm going to get married. I'm going to build my own home. And finally I got married. I got an upgrade in Gehenna. I got a wife which outdid my mother and my father. Every year I had a child, every child with his problems. What does Hashem want from me? I did everything. I went to Mekubalim, I went to Babot, I went to Uman, I did all the Sgulot. I even went to autistic children to figure out what does Hashem want. So I asked him, why did you come to me? I'm not a Mekubal, I'm not a Baba, I'm also not autist. I'm educated. So I asked him, tell me, does Hashem love you? He said, how does he love me? Look what he does to me. He said, you pray every day? He says, yes. He said, you're saying to every day twice, you're lying, B'Shem U'Malchus. We just said, Baruch Baruch Ata Hashem, O Yivam Yisrael, you love me. Baruch HaShem, how can you lie? If he loves me, why does he do it to me? Because he loves you. You're Tzadik V'Raloi. It's Tzadik V'Raloi. Therefore he does it to you. He says, are you mekabel ol ma'achot shemayim every morning, every night? Are you accepting the yoke of heaven? Are you validating your Jewishness? He says, yes, what do you say? He started saying, v'avta Hashem elokech v'chol levav, v'chol nafshech, v'chol medecho, v'chol mido, mido shemoyded lach, whatever Hashem measures up to you, have moyded lach, moyed mo, thank you very, very much. He said, tell me, did you ever say thank you to Hashem for your crazy father? Did you ever say thank you to Hashem for your crazy wife? And for your problem with your children? He looks at me. What? I thank you also have to give him? It's not enough I'm accepting. I told him, listen, you are never mekabel ma'achot shemayim. You never accepted Hashem. So now I understand why all the prayers, all the tefillahs of the mekubalim didn't help you. Because tefillah is in the second parsha, la'avdu b'chol levavchem. First you have to accept Hashem. Nobody could pray for you, and not even yourself. First, you then say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very basic Jewishness. Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. And that is Eliyahu Hanavi speaking to us every morning. Now, I must tell you one thing. One thing out in the world, there's definitely no happy world out there. To make people to be Mekarev Jews, nothing is as Kirev unless they see it in you. Vishinantum levanecho. If they don't see it on your face, Hashreinu matevcho, kenu manem gerolenu. You can't sell Judaism. Why should you be happy? And here is the question. Why should I really be happy? Why Noah didn't become Avraham Avinu? I want you to give you a little insight who Noah was. And the puzzle comes even bigger. The Chasam Sofer says, Hashem teached Odom HaRishon Kol HaTorah Kulay. Odom HaRishon knew the entire Torah. He saw one and world to the other and world, from beginning of time to end of time. He knew everything, saw everything, and he decided not to be Israel. He gave it up, ideologically. He didn't go crazy. He says, it's not for me. Not for me, let somebody else take it. His son Shes was a big tzaddik. Mr. Shelach was a big tzaddik. Chanoch, the Zaydi of Noach, the Kemalach Matat till today. Great people, we have no idea who they were. Prophets speaking to Hashem, living for 800, 900 years, seeing history. And he comes out, Noach, Shem, prophets speaking to Hashem, sing the marble. Rav Avraham Avinu comes forward, says, the Chasam Sofer, Odom HaRishon passed on the whole Torah to his descendants. Mr. Shelach got it from Odom HaRishon, the Kol Torah Kulay. Mr. Shelach teach the entire Torah for Noach and Shem. And Noach and Shem teach the whole Torah to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham Avinu learned still Torah by Noach himself. Yitzchak and Yaakov and Avraham learned Torah by Shem by Noach. And they still remained out. They remained B'nai Noachs. They're not allowed to keep Shabbos. What did Avraham Avinu do? Why did he come in? Now Noach and Shem sees with their eyes Avraham Avinu walks out of the fire furnace. He sees Avraham Avinu fighting a war with Eliezer against the great major four kings wins over them. They saw the performance of Avraham Avinu. Shem sees the Kedus Yitzchak, everything. And they teach Avraham Yitzchak the Yaakov Torah. Because they got it from Mr. Shelach. Mr. Shelach got it from Odom HaRishon. Odom HaRishon got it from Hashem. Four links. From Hashem direct to Avraham Yitzchak Yankov. What made Avraham Yitzchak Yankov become Avraham Yitzchak Yankov? Why didn't Noach went in his footstep? It's a very important question. Because now I could understand, why should I be Jewish? Noach wasn't a nobody. He was a great person. Let's continue. So Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, you made it. You made a covenant with him. And the world is given over to your children. Atem kruyim Odom. You got the title Odom, which Noach, but Odom didn't give up on that. Noach gave up on it. They're not called Odom. We are called Odom. You're the purpose of creation. Eile tol deshmaim v'oretz behi borom b'shvil Avraham. We are b'nei Avraham. And they all knew it. So Hashem promised the children will have it. First they're going to go down to Mitzrayim, but then they're going to come out. So how do you know? Avraham asked Mo Eda Kerishan, how do you know they're going to come out? Maybe they wouldn't want to be Jewish. Noach didn't want to become. Shem didn't become. How I am convinced that my children would want to be Jewish. They're going to go in my footsteps. They're going to be willing to go into fire furnace to become Jews. How do I know? So Shem says, okay. I promise you, I'm going to send them down to Mitzrayim. And then they're going to come out. Beruchush God. They're going to have a great fortune. What fortune? The answer that is, says the Meral. You know what Avraham Avinu said? I will give it in my words. But the Meral tries to relate to us. If I would have an opportunity to speak to Avraham Avinu, watch, one day we're all going to have it. That's a typical Jew. It's amazing. We're all going to meet Avraham Avinu. I'm going to ask, Zaydi Avraham, tell me, what is the greatest thanks that you have to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about your presence? What is the most thankful thing that you have to thank Hashem? He wouldn't guess that Avraham Avinu will answer. What will he answer? Thank you, Hashem, you gave me a father, Terach, who worshipped Avodah Zorah, and he made me to worship Avodah Zorah, says the Rambam. If you want to thank to Hashem, remember where you came from. You came from Terach Oved Avodah Zorah. I myself was Oved Avodah Zorah. So why do you thank? What is the big thank you? Thanks Hashem, you gave me an opportunity to become because I wanted to become, and nobody imposed it on me. Noach was a great man. It was imposed on him. He saw great people. He got treated. Second link after Adam. Adam is a shelach Noach. How can you get out? The question is not why Noach didn't get out. The question is why Nimrod got out. I understand why Noach remained a tzaddik. Why shouldn't you be a tzaddik? But why did Avraham Avinu become Avraham Avinu? Father Terach, growing up in generation of Nimrod, where the whole world goes against. And Avraham Avinu fights himself away. And Hashem is not mekarif him. Every time it came closer to Hashem, he got other push. Other Nisayon. Asura Nisayonis Nisnas Avraham Avinu. Va'omad Bekulam. That made him. The more you push me away, and why I have to fight on my own to get back to you? Thank you, Hashem. You pushed me away. You didn't impose yourself on me. I looked for you. You didn't look for me. Anoich Hashem Shebacharti Ba'Avram. I chose Avram. You know why? Because Mitzos is Lavova Nemo Lefanecha found his heart trustworthy. He proved himself. He didn't bribe him. He didn't teach him. He threw him away, threw him off. That thank you I could give you, Hashem. So when Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be the purpose of creation. The whole creation was given to your children. Avraham Avinu said, I'm not so happy about it. I don't want them to inherit my privileges, my merits. I want them to get it on their own. So Hashem, well, that's what you wanted. Okay. Kigeri Zeracho, you're going to go down to exile. And Hashem says the message, Hashem showed him all the exile till today, including Ishmael, what we're going through today. Bovel, Moda, Yovan, Edom. And your Jewish children are going to turn into dead corpse. Begorim. And you're going to try to eliminate us. First, they're going to assimilate us, and then they're going to liquidate us, and then you will try to totally to erase us. But the Jewish people are going to come back on their own, just like you came back on your own. And Avraham Avinu said, thank you, that's exactly what I wanted. And now you understand what's going on today. I could ask you a question, Hashem, what do you want it from us? What we went through the last 200, 300 years, assimilation, Haskalah, socialism, communism, Zionism, Hitlerism, Stalinism, what do you want from us? I promised it to Avraham Avinu. And I'm going to make him into as you were before you discovered me. And I will give him an opportunity that everyone could discover Hashem on his own. Today, if we are Jews, nobody imposes on us democracy, freedom. You have the internet, the world chasing you. And nobody's watching over you. You don't have to be embarrassed. Nobody knows where you are. It's not when I was young and I went to Jukimayan to love to see a movie. I couldn't even go into a movie. I was too embarrassed. Today you don't have to be embarrassed. The movie comes to you. You could see anything what you want. You have the whole world on your hand. Who stops you? Only personal relationship, you and Hashem. Don't you say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're giving me opportunity to be Avraham Avinu? We're not Jews because my father, my Rebbe, my society, where are they? I'm totally alone. I have to fight individually a whole world off. There's Hashem, there's a me, and there's a whole world. And nobody knows where I am, only Hashem. And if I'm loyal to Hashem, it's because I'm loyal to Hashem. Why shouldn't you be happy? All our complaints, what you should complain, should be the opposite. You say, thank you, Takud, v'omad b'kulam. And that's our final phase. And that's exactly the message of Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi teaches us, Toiras ha'ovis ha'hishiv levo'ovois albonim, not Toiras Moshe. Till now, I would say, till 34 years ago, when the world, and I say in the utmost confidence, do we realize, for 2,500 years, Judaism was fought ideologically by all the Golos, Bovel, Moda, Yovan, Edom, till 25 years ago, still in an official government, Russia. They don't let you keep Shabbos. They don't let you make Bris Milah. What do they care what you're doing? What is this Russian drunk? I care what you do in your private life. But was a fact. Don't do it. I had the privilege to be in Russia the first time 43 years ago. Undercover work. You have no idea the hatred we had against religion. Religion. Unbelievable. What is Russia not to hate? Today, free, open. And some of my early books have been translated in Russian. A certain Askin in Switzerland asked me permission. He wants to put it on a website in Russia. And he put it. And reported to me, do you know you have thousands of visitors on your book? Goyim. And it's how fortunate are you Jews. You know what you're living. You have the truth. Nobody else. You realize what change took place? For 2,500 years they fought us. They burnt our shas. The Bekiva was killed because he's teaching Torah. The Zeres, Pamachas, Gozumachos, Shahinu, who teaches Torah, are going to be killed. Today, is anyone chasing Torah? Even in Iran, you have Cheder, you have Shchita, Mikveh. They say openly, we're not against the Jewish religion. We're against Zionism, against the politics. Who dares today to discriminate against religion? And we have light. And there's Balchus in every corner in the world. Why? Now prove yourself. I'm a Holocaust survivor. We were hiding at this Goyim in the Holocaust. And we tried to live as a Goy. They shouldn't catch us. And then we got caught anyhow. Nobody had to warn me, but make sure don't become a Nazi. I couldn't, even if I wanted. When we were in Golos, Golos watched us. Today, you have a different Golos. You don't have concentration camps. You don't have gas chambers. Today, the world is not here. But you don't realize how you've been chased by the whole world to liquidate you, get me here, to burn our neshomas up. and you have to fight single-handedly. Nobody's protecting you. Nobody's out there. You can't shelter yourself anymore. They come into our shelter, to our homes. Not long ago, we had yeshivas, at chassidus, at all kind of things. You were sheltered. Today, nothing hurts. They come into us. If you don't know to resist, if you don't become Avrom within yourself, individually, echot hoy Avrom, fight yourself. If you don't become a Rebbe Akiva, and the Gemara gives the title of Rebbe Akiva, the same thing, he was an individual. Odom echot yesh, sha'os elir besof kam adoyeris, v'akiva ben Yosef shumai. Rebbe Akiva was also an individualist. Who is he? Ben Gerim. No background. Himself Amoretz, he hated the Talmud Chochem. To the age of 40, he became the Rebbe of Torah Shebal Peh. Why can't you become? Why can't I become Avraham Avinu? Why can't you become a Rebbe Akiva? Because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't take on the mission. And question is, like, really, why? Why should I become Jewish? And we ask the question, you have no answer. So how can you sell Judaism? If you can't see, why should you be happy being a Jew? Some years ago, about 8-9 years ago, the American Cancer Association, a society, ran a workshop in Maimonides Hospital in Borough Park. And mostly from people, for families who have internally ill members, and for some new people too who attended the seminar. It was a workshop, American Cancer Society. So they told them, since it's a mostly religious audience, it would be appropriate to invite a rabbi also to speak. So they invited me to speak. And I spoke an hour and a half. And all those psychologists, all the professionals who they're here to give support for the family, for the ill people, how to fight the illness and so on, were standing there for an hour and a half listening. And I gave a real Torah lecture. I said, why should we fight for life? What is it worth living for? For one extra moment life. Why does Hashem say, I'm willing to give up the whole Torah performance, Shabbos, everything, for maybe to extend your life for 1 minute? Why are you so valuable? And I explained why, when there's a child, a total vegetable, comes into the world, we will never perform any mitzvahs in his life. In order to keep him alive, you have to violate Shabbos, you have to do everything. We have to violate all the Shabbos just to keep this vegetable child alive. And why Noach Tzadik? This great Noach, when he gets sick in Pesach and Shabbos, he can't violate Shabbos to save his life. He's not allowed to. You have an answer? Noach Tzadik. The Zaydi of Noach, Hanok, is a Malach Metat. He would come to spend with our Shabbos. And let's say he gets sick, you're not supposed to violate Shabbos to keep his life, to save his life. Why for this Jew, vegetable Jew? You have to violate everything. What is the value of a Jew? Torah mitzvahs? He's a vegetable, never going to Torah mitzvahs. And let me give you an illustration of a spiritual vegetable Jew, a spiritual vegetable. It's actually a Chofetz Chaim in the Mishneh Berurah. When we ask, what is the greatness of a Jew? You say, Torah mitzvahs. No, Noach had Torah mitzvahs, and he's not Jewish. And the vegetable has no Torah mitzvahs, and he's Jewish. And the Chofetz Chaim brings a very beautiful thing, that we don't appreciate what a Jew is, just a Jew, without Torah mitzvahs. There's a halacha. You find a baby, an infant, let's say in Chicago, in a train station. You took him home, you adopted the baby. What is the statue of this baby? Is he Jewish or not? What is he? If the Ir Ruba Goyim, if majority of the people are Goyim, this child is a din as a Goy. Chicago, majority Goyim, you took him home, you adopted a Goyish child. You raised him as a Goy, he became the Shabbos Goy of the whole community. You all know him, Jackie, the Shabbos Goy. Means to say, he's not allowed to keep Shabbos. He can't marry a Jewish woman. He's a Goy. That's halacha. We go Boser Rav, majority. No fan all of me poilus be Shabbos. The building collapsed on him on Shabbos. So now we have a question. Maybe he's Jewish. You're not sure that he's a goy. Then maybe a small percentage he could be Jewish. It's a suffix of Pekuach Nefoshes. And when there is a doubt in Pekuach Nefoshes, the Loche is, Hashina Lemeuta, we have to worry, maybe he's Jewish, we have to be Machal Shabbos. Mefakchin Olav Esagag. And it takes 1,000 Jews to violate Shabbos to save this goy. We all have to go down to work. And whenever there's a mitzvah to save a Jew, Pekuachim Tzola, Gedolim is asking why. The rabbis have to do it. So imagine you have 1,000 Jews. We all work the whole Shabbos to dig him out from the collapse of the structure, and we successfully saved him. And Baruch Hashem, we saved him. Jackie, the Shabbos guy, saved a life with him, Jackie, but Shabbos is not allowed to keep. The Gabbai Shabbos, he remained the goy. Why had we violated a few Shabbos? Maybe he's Jewish. Says the Chofetz Chaim, what do we see here? A person who is technically a goy has to live as a goy. We don't allow him to keep Shabbos, but maybe he's Jewish. You have to violate all the Shabbos for him. And for the nicest, greatest goy, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos. Do you have an answer? It means we don't know who we are. So when you say in the morning, Elionovi teaches us, say, Ashreinu Matev Chalkemanu, just because I'm Jewish, I was Mekabel Amach HaShemayim, how can you teach somebody Judaism if you don't know who you are? You never sold it to yourself. And that is the sugya which we never learned. We learned the sugya of, we have three ovois, three fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why do we need three fathers? Says the Meral. Why is not enough enough? We all come from Avraham. The answer is because Judaism stands on three principles, on three teachings. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Oraisa, Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah, and the Jew. Kodesh Baruch Hu is presented by Yitzchak. Avoido. He goes on the Keder, he connects to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He meditates with Hashem, disregards the whole world. Yitzchak is Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yankov is Torah. Titan Emesle Yankov and Emesle Torah. Yankov is teaching us Torah. Puts up the Am Yisrael. Who is Yisrael? Avraham Avinu. One individual. Am Yisrael. Have you learned what Yisrael is? Now, it should have been really be, according to order, should be Yitzchak, Yankov, and then Avraham. First Kodesh Baruch Hu is Yitzchak. And then comes Torah, Yankov, and then comes Yisrael. Why is Avraham the first one? And says, if they don't appreciate being Israel, Hashem doesn't talk to you, doesn't mean anything to you. Why did Noach is a goy? He was no Israel, he didn't appreciate it himself. He didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe that I could give something to HaKadosh Baruch. Till now I presented the questions. Let me start giving you the answer. What did Avraham Avinu do? Why didn't Noach do it? Noach didn't believe that I could undo the damage which Adam had done. Adam wasn't a fool that he didn't become Avraham Avinu. Adam ideologically says, I'm sorry, I don't mind to die. You created me to be your partner. I'm your companion. I'm the purpose of creation. It's too big for me. I can't take that responsibility. Let me be a Ben Noach. I will serve you 7 mitzvahs. Pay me for that. I don't want to be a partner. I'm willing to be a good worker. We all know today, if you have a factory, you need workers. And you need some partners. Important thing, you need partners. What is more out in the world? Workers or partners? Workers. Why don't you make your own business? I don't want to have the headache. Because Boch is a business. The world is his business. And it's not going to go bankrupt. The purpose of creation will be fulfilled. But in order to run the business of the world, he needs workers, he needs partners. And partners cannot be forced. Partners, you have to volunteer. Workers could be forced. All humanity work for Hashem. Nobody has excuses not to. Every person is a Ben Noach. But you can't force to be a partner. Other magician said, I prefer to be a worker, a manager. I will do anything what you want. I'm not taking responsibility for being a partner. And so were Mr. Shelach, and so were Noach, and so were Shem. Until Avraham Avinu comes, he volunteers, are willing to be a partner. Avraham Anodif, who forced a partner can't force. Why did he do it? Why did Noah not do it? Noah knew everything, and he didn't do it. Adam, of course, knew everything, and he walked out. And let's go to the question further. Finally, we come down to Mitzrayim. Finally, Hashem sends Moshe Rabbeinu to redeem us, to take us out. And we come out. What does Hashem do in order to induce us to come out? What does Hashem do? He sends Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Emlei Aminuli. The Jewish people are not going to believe me. They're not going to leave. They're not going to come. Says Hashem, you know what? We're going to make oysters and mofsim. We're going to make miracles. And we're going to perform. We're going to induce them to come. And what does Hashem do to them? I'm going to give them 10 seminars. Seminar Dam, Seminar Tzefardeya, Seminar Kinim, Seminar Oroif. Every month, 1 week seminar, 3 weeks registration. And I'm going to convince the person to come. Comes the third seminar in Kinim. The Mitzvah says, Velukim, don't you see Hashem? Comes the ninth seminar. We are today in the ninth seminar, today exactly. What was the ninth seminar? Darkness. What is Mitzrayim? Koich v'otzim yodi, independency. I can't live totally reliant on Hashem. That was actually Adam HaRishon, which he didn't want. To live in the Gan Eden, totally relying on Hashem 24 hours a day, I need some independency. It's difficult to live almost like we lived in the desert, go to sleep every night, 5 million people, without a drop of food, without a drop of water, to worry tomorrow morning, will I get the man or not? It's very difficult to live always hanging up there, depending on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Mitzrayim is actually competing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives you nature, self-standing, independency. To live that independent world as we live today is so independent. So what does Hashem do? He gives us every month a seminar, Adam Tzefadeh Akinim. Finally comes the ninth seminar, it was the last seminar before the redemption. And Micha Novi says, the same process which took place coming out of Mitzrayim will be replayed before Mashiach comes. So if I want to know today where I'm standing today, just look in the blueprint, in the Rishit Yesh Mitzrayim. And that's why we're going to say it in 3 weeks from now. The more you articulate what took place over there, Harizeh today is praiseworthy. You know who you are. In every given situation, every given generation, you have to see yourself that I'm living today in Mitzrayim, today, 2009, Tov Shin Samach Tes. I'm living myself. How do you know? How do you see the process? Well, learn the original plan, what took place then. So what took the plan? The ninth took place. What tempted us to stay? Koich v'otzim yodi, independency. Kemakas choyshech, v'yomesh choyshech. The darkness paralyzed them, crippled them. There's no Mitzrayim. You can't move. The one who stands can sit. The one who sits cannot stand. Where is Koich v'otzim yodi? Is there any Koich v'otzim yodi? No. Yisrael ha'orba morshvoi sam, at the same time Jews had light. In Chazal bring us, Sifri Kadmoinim, Hashem revealed the Or HaGonus, the light which Adam HaRishon saw before he sinned. The light which every one of us saw and witnessed before we were born. Nev doyle kal roishem stakum esof oylem atsof oylem. We were once before we were born, we forgot it already. We saw our entire future. That light was revealed to Makas Choshech. The Zohar Kodesh says, when the Choshech came to the Mitzrayim, Shem Kavyochot took off his dress of light that blinded the Egyptians and that lit up the Jews. In other words, you sit in a dark cave and you can't see the light. That darkened them, crippled the Mitzrayim. And we had light. And then 80% don't come out. They prefer to stay in Mitzrayim and to die, and they don't come out. And the 20% who did come out, they come out in 4 levels. Chochom, Rosh HaTam, Shein, Edeh, Alishod. Can you understand this? You have an answer for that. So question number one, other medicine professor ready to die, doesn't want to become a partner. Mr. Shelach, not. Noach, not. Shem, not. Avraham Avinu, yes. Avraham Avinu promised, promised his children, I'm going to take him down to Mitzrayim, and I give him the same freedom of choice. Who wants to be with me? I'm not going to force myself off anyone. I will try everything to induce them, to prove to them. I'm going to bring them the plagues, and I'm going to give them the light. Ezot makas choshech. But the last choice is in their own hand. And 80% go in the footsteps of Noach, of Adam Arishan. I'd rather die, but I don't want to be a partner with Hashem. And the 20% who did it, what does Hashem call them? Zachar tilo chesed nuraich. I will always remember you did chesed with me, that you came after me. Avraham Avinu did chesed with Hashem. Mischasedim koinai. And that's the key. As long as you look at yourself, it doesn't pay to be Jewish. It's too big of a risk. Adam wasn't a fool. Noach wasn't a fool. And so were the 80% not fools. Because as long as you think what's going to be with me, you have reasons to be afraid. Avraham Avinu didn't ask what's going to be with me. What's going to be with Hashem? He hasn't had a partner. He lost his partner. I want to do chesed with him at any cost. I'm not looking at myself. Now, why this is important to understand? Because we're waiting for Mashiach. Will everyone see Mashiach? No. Only one who await him and they feel we deserve him and we're willing to pay any price. We're willing to leave Mitzrayim. If you're not willing to leave Mitzrayim, you want to hold on something which still Mitzrayim is giving you. You're not ready for Mashiach. As they were not ready, the 80% to come out. So what was really the problem? Now, what was the light? They saw the light from one end to another, they saw the future. To give us to understand why they didn't come out, let me give you a very simple motion. Suppose there's 1,000 chosen kalas, 1,000 couples already excited getting married. It's all printed invitation, everything ready to go. Suppose I happen to have the video of every couple, what they're going to go through 56 years after they get married. There's such a video. The Gemara says in Shabbos, every one of us before we were born, they showed us our entire future. And we say to Hashem, thank you. We saw our future. Thank God we forgot it at the birth. Now we struggle with it. Now suppose I invite this 1,000 chosen kalas, says, come, I'm going to show you your own life that you're going to go through with your spouse for the next 50 years. How many of you think are going to walk underneath the chuppah? Will it be 80% to say it's not for me? Leave me out? Why would 20% walk in? Well, Hashem, for me, doesn't pay. But if you need it, you need me for that. I'm willing to sacrifice my life. I'm willing to become Avraham Avinu. I'm willing to go into the fire furnace. Noach was a big man. He saw what it costs to see Mashiach. He saw all the thousands of years. All the tradition. From beginning to end, he saw what does it mean to be Jewish. Leave me alone. And it's not such a far-fetched moshel. I have personal experiences sometimes. You should not know about it. Sometimes a person will be diagnosed on Nebuchadnezzar's terrible sickness. And the doctor says, you're gone. You're finished. If you're not doing anything, you go over. What? And he gives him a whole line of treatment. What are you going to go to for the next 2-3 years? Chemo, radiation, surgery, the whole thing. And most likely you're going to be okay. Sometimes people say, it's not for me, leave me alone. I don't want to take on. I'd rather die in peace. I'm not taking it on. And I'm being called in, like in the Cancer Society, when I spoke over there, Salatin, tell him, why does it pay to go through this all terrible pain just to live one extra day, just to live one extra moment? Why does Hashem allow you to violate Shabbos just for one extra moment of life? Because a moment of life is eternity. When I choose life, when I don't have to, it's because I'm giving a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Avraham Avinu. I'm giving you a life, Jew. At what cost? Any cost. If Noach would come today and convert, wants to convert, let's say Noach Tzadik wants to convert. So we ask him, why do you want to convert? What do you mean? I want to keep Shabbos. I want to be Jewish. And tell him, do you know what price you're going to pay for that? What is the price? First thing, the minute you convert, you lose all, you have a lot of accumulated mitzvahs. You're a great man. You lose everything. Gershon is God, Kokotin Shinoel, a newborn person. You're an infant. You start a new page. I wouldn't give up all your savings. So now says, yeah. If I accumulate it as a goy, I'm going to start accumulating as a Jew. He said, that's not enough. You know what the second price you're going to pay? I still want to become Jewish. First, you're going to lose all the accumulated credits. Two, the minute you convert, you turn into a vegetable and not going to make one mitzvah anymore in your life. I still want to become Jewish. Yes or no? What would you say? Should he become Jewish? And he says, why? Stay out there. You're going to get rewarded. You're a wonderful person. What doesn't pay for you to become Jewish? What does he have to answer? That's what Hashem wants me to pay for becoming a Jew? Granted, I'm willing to do that. Why? Hashem does not need us here. Hashem needs us in eternity. The climax of a Jew is Tchias HaMesim. We believe in Tchias Neman Atolachas Mesim. The only thing which is in my hand, and not in Hashem's hand, a clear pasuk in the Torah, is a chaim v'samoves nesati lefonechu hayoy. Hayoy means all the time. All the time Hashem says, I'm running the world, I'm controlling the world. One thing you control, will you get there forever and I'm going to entertain you? Will you not get there? It's up to you. If you don't choose life, I can't give it to you. Because a relationship with Hashem is a marriage. Marriage cannot be forced. And Hashem begs us, ubachartu b'chaim, please choose life. If you don't choose it, I cannot give it to you. Prove it. Other medicine choose to die. Hashem couldn't do him any. Hashem couldn't twist his arm, stay alive. I need you. I'm not going to force myself on you. The opposite. When Avraham Avinu volunteers, and he comes forward, I want to give you a life person. Hashem is pushing you away. Ten tests. More, more, more. That is called, if you don't believe that you do chesed with Hashem, there's a very beautiful Shloa Kodesh, and if it wouldn't be a Shloa Kodesh, I would be afraid to quote such words about Noach. Shloa Kodesh says, "V'noach motzo chen be'ene Hashem." Noach find kindness in the eyes of Hashem. He's a nice Gentile doing mitzvahs, but it doesn't say that Hashem motzo chen be'ene Noach, that Hashem find kindness in the eyes of Noach. Avraham Avinu, Hashem motzochem be'in Avram. Hashem will do for you anything. You want to make me into a vegetable? You want to take everything? I don't care about anything. I want to become yours. Let me tell you a life story. You know, we have here in Monsi Mechoy Naroa. You know, my brother is the Rosh HaKoiler there. So, going back 25 years ago, there was in Flatbush, was a tanker of Rav Friedman. It was all European Rav. Every time when there was a not a regular situation, like a chalitza, conversion, giyur, whatever that is, in order to give shimush, to give service that the dayonim of Mechoy Naroa should get little shimush. So he invited the Arbezin. My brother came down, my son, the dayonim of Mechoy Naroa came down. It was once a giyur, a conversion about an 18-year-old girl, an American 18-year-old girl. So Rav Friedman, the Tenkerov, starts speaking to this girl. What do you need it for? Don't you know that you're going to suffer? You're not going to find easy l'shiduchem, a convert, and then you're going to suffer. You're giving up Olam Hazeh. You're a wonderful person. You keep seven mitzvahs. You get you rewarded. What do you need a headache for? She says, I know. I have a friend, also convert. She don't find shiduchem. I made up my mind. I'm willing to give up the Olam Hazeh. I'm willing to give up this world just to be Jewish. So Rav Friedman started off, you think you're only gambling this world? You're also gambling the world to come. It's not easy to be a Jew. And he gave him, says, you know, it's sneers and shekel, lashon hara, and so on and so on. What do you need it for? What are you gambling? I was talking to her. Take out the mishigas from her. All of a sudden, she got angry. And she started screaming. Who cares about Olam Hazeh? Who cares about Olam Haba? If I could become a daughter of Hashem, I don't care about anything. My brother says to me, I got goosebumps. Such a scream. Who cares about Olam Hazeh? Who cares about Olam Haba? I could become a daughter of Hashem. I don't care about anything. Also, look at the Tankerov. I see he's pale. His eyes swollen from tears. And the whole basin became simply paralyzed. Such a scream, such a genuine. Who cares about Olam Hazeh? Who cares? Don't care about yourself. I could give a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I give him a child. And of course, after that, they made the giur, the conversion. And when she left, they sat down. And the Tankerov says, I understand what the Riyah Kodesh says. The Maral says the same thing. A goy does not convert. The Gemara says, get Shabbat is Gair. A convert who comes to convert. Doesn't say, goy Shabbat is Gair. A goy has to be a goy. If there's somebody converting, it's a lost neshama who have been lost, who knows when. And that neshama comes back and says, don't you think, who screamed, who yelled, who cares what Olam Haba? The Jewish neshama yelled out. Not the chiksa. We have that neshama. We never learned Torah of us. We never learned that I do chesed for Hashem. The fact that I'm a Jew, thank you to be Jewish. I'm not the best Jew, therefore I'm waiting for Mashiach. Elionovi says to us, Ashrenu matavcha kem anem goyroleinu. Now, there's a mitzvah lachakas mitzvah to wait Mashiach. What are you waiting for Mashiach? For to get you out of your trouble? It's a mistake. Mashiach is not here to take us out of trouble. Let me tell what Mashiach is here for. Our relation with Hashem is marriage. If we haven't got the best shalom bais, is Hashem so happy with us? Are we happy with Hashem? We have a lot of complaints. He complains about us. We have complaints about him. So there's a shalom bais problem. Here's a couple, married 20, 30 years, and they made up their mind, what's the point of diggering? We're not crazy. We're not hating each other. We just have no communication skills. We just don't know how to be nice to each other. Let's, once forever, let's learn. Let's go to marriage counselor and make peace between us. Why should we suffer? Okay. The couple comes. They're willing to take orders. The marriage counselor asks the husband, tell me, what's your complaint? He says, I have two complaints about my wife. One complaint is she's very unhappy. She's sour. She curses the day ever she got to know me. She wishes she would never know me. I come home, she's avoiding me. I come home having a sour, pickle heart, a sad woman. That's one complaint. The second complaint, no service. No cooking, no cleaning, nothing. The marriage counselor tells him, listen, I could help you about one complaint, 100%. I cannot help you on two. You pick which one should I work. I could make you a happy wife. I'm going to teach her who you are, that you're the tzaddik ador, she's so privileged to have his husband, and she's going to get excited, crazy. She has such a privilege to become your wife. You come home every night, you're going to have the greatest reception. She's going to sing and dance around you, tell all her friends how fortunate she is. But supper, you're not going to get. She remains the same shlemil. Or I could deliver your wife a yakit. You get a star of five-star hotel, but with the sour face as she was till now. You pick and choose what you want, the first or the second. What will every normal person say? Give me the first. Okay, go buy without food. I could buy ready-made food. I need a happy wife. That exactly is our problem. We have no shalom bais with Hashem. Hashem has two complaints against us. One, you're not happy Jews. You're not appreciating that I picked you and I chose you to be married. Two, where's service? Where's davening and learning and everything what you're supposed to do? So we say to Hashem, what do you want, the first or the second? Hashem says, first get me a happy Jew. Ashreinu matavcha kem anem goyim. You want to have a performing Jew? Send me Mashiach. Without Mashiach, I'm never going to be performing anymore. We need to be some migdash, Hashem navatcho. Take away the yetzer hara. Hashem says, I will send you Mashiach, but first be proud and happy that you're Jewish. That's Torah of us. You're not going to find in any chazal about Avraham Avinu's great performance of Torah mitzvahs. No. You're going to find about Avraham Avinu was excited, Vita Eshel. He opened up a hotel. He wined and dined. He wasn't fruming out. Yitzchak was already, okay, Avoyed the Yank was already Torah. Avraham Avinu opened up his house. He said, no, there is Hashem. Hashem needs you. He got me, he could get you too. And that is the sugya of Avraham Avinu. And Chazal tell us on the Gemara, we say every Shemir Asra like Avraham, like Yitzchak, like Yankov. And we conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem Mogen Avraham. Says the Gemara, B'choch Hoismim V'loi Behem. Says the Megala Mukos 500 years ago, Chasim Es HaGolus. The conclusion of Golus will be Avraham. The sugi of today, we have to be Avraham's. Hashem had a lot of Yitzchaks, a lot of Yankovs, and if Mashiach didn't come to them. Whether Rabbi Kiva Eger, whether Vilna Gaon, whether Baal Shem Tov, whether Chasam Sofer, Mashiach didn't come to them. Why should Mashiach come to us? I will ever compete with Rabbi Kiva Eger. Will I perform a Baal Shem Tov, a Vilna Gaon? What one thing you could be in this generation to be a happy Jew when there's a very unhappy world. And the world is here to replace Hashem. You could live like any Gentile, democracy, freedom. You could make the same living as everyone has. Are you still happy to be Jewish? Are you still loyal to Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's what Hashem wants. That is the sugya of Avraham Avinu. Now, what did Avraham Avinu do? All he showed, he opened up his house. He wined them, he dined them. Here, Hashem, what is the ultimate accomplishment of us? As Mesilas Yeshayahu Lotzato says, Lo nivroho odom eilu kodeh litzanig al Hashem velehenos mesiv shchinosai. We have been created to enjoy Asavit HaKodesh Baruch Hu, to enjoy radiate of His shine, to be with Hashem. That's the highest peak which we're going to have with Hashem. After in Shabbos, Tchis HaMeisim. Avraham Avinu got it. We hear Hashem and Avraham. Hashem came to Avraham. Avraham was hosting Shechina, sits with the Shechina. But the Pesach Pesachoyel sits outside at the entrance of the tent. Says Hashem, it's wonderful to be in your company, but I'm in business. I have to advertise you. I have to see some wayfarers. He could have taken me into the living room, nice air-conditioned room. You have such a host as Hashem, being entertained, and sitting at the entrance. Avraham Avinu does not give up of his business. And while all of a sudden, he sees three Arabs. Who bowed down to the dust of the foot, the lowest of the characters which could be. And Avraham is a dilemma. Here I'm having company, Hashem. And here I could be machnis ayrech. I could teach these three Arabs about Hashem. What comes first? Your enjoyment? Noach tzaddik? Sit with Hashem? Or leave Hashem and go down to the three Arabs and teach him? You could do it too. And he leaves Hashem. And he goes out to the tent and says, Hashem, please, don't go away. Wait until I finish my business. Then we're going to meet again. That's what he said. And the Gemara there says to me, G'doylach noses orchim yoysim mikobolis b'neshchina. It's greater to take these wayfarers and to entertain them than to see the Shechina. Says to Merab, Haytochen, Hakam. Hakam? Would you believe that? Imagine I've been invited to come to speak in Harlem. To speak to these drug addicts, to these homeless, about Hashem. Teach them there's Hashem. Okay. I was invited to come. All of a sudden, I have to be at 10 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, somebody knocks on my door. And my Rebbe comes, says, come, I want to learn with you. He says, Rebbe, I have no time for you. I have to go to Harlem, teach the Arabs, take these guys there. But why would you look at me? You crazy? Supposedly a Novi comes to me. Come, I'm going to teach you Torah. Call a Torah cooler. He says, very nice. Can you come back 12 o'clock after you come back from Harlem? Suppose Hashem comes to me. The Shechina comes to me. I want to sit with you. He says, Shechina, I have no time for you. I have to go to Harlem. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu sits with the Shechina. And he leaves the Shechina. He says, please, Hashem, stay. Wait for me. I have to finish my job. I have to speak to these three Arabs. And he leaves it. Says the Gemara, it's greater. Says the Gemara, how come? Answers the Maral, Avraham Avinu wasn't a humanist. Avraham Avinu was out to do chesed with Hashem. Avraham Avinu said to these three Arabs, you see me? I came from the same background as you. I also worship idols. I discovered I have a tzelem elokim, and I could do a favor to Hashem. I gave myself back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why don't you do the same thing? We have the same potential. We have the same potential. Noach couldn't do it. Noach wasn't a self-made man. Moach got it in a golden platter, be it tzaddik. Avraham Avinu was a self-made man. Says the Maral, whatever he went out, wasn't doing chesed to humanity, doing chesed with Hashem. Because if I did it, you could do it too. And that's it. He says, Avraham cares for me. Avraham became so selfless. He could bring back an Arab to me to improve him a little bit, to respect Hashem. He gives up his whole personal enjoyment to being with Hashem. That is the teaching of Avraham Avinu. We were not trained for that. And I tell you, it was legitimate. And I tell you why, with that I'm concluding. When Hashem was attacked, and Torah was attacked, and Hashem was attacked to atheism, socialism, Torah was attacked, secular Judaism, Torah was attacked. So entire defensive mechanism which we had to defend Hashem, to defend Torah. Today, Hashem is not being attacked. Torah is not being attacked, Baruch Hashem. Today, you are being attacked. You don't know who you are. There's no kumoicho. There's no self-esteem. But you have no appreciation of being a simple Jew. Appreciate that Hashem's child. That's a Molech. Pare fights Hashem. Pare fights Torah. Leidat is Hashem. Pare could very easily resist. I could show him there is Hashem, there is Torah. And we had all the training how to bring Hashem back to us, how to bring Torah back to us, and we were successful too. The last word, nobody's attacking Hashem and Torah. We are being attacked individually. Don't believe in yourself. Don't be happy being Jewish. Avraham Avinu is being attacked. We never got training from that. And it's a sugya which you never opened up. And this is B'chor Choismim. Now, I understand tries to inspire us how to teach, to make a Baal Tshuva. The truth of it is, Abol Elamad V'nim Tzolomad. We have to teach ourselves. The more you teach yourself in the Kabbalah Machashmaim that you happen to be Jewish, the more you teach yourself, Vishnantam Alechu putting up a Talmud. If you don't sit on your face, and this is really today, if you take our social problem, the Torah world social problem, we have problems of Sholem Bayis, we have problems of Chinuch, we have children at risk, all comes to one thing, because we don't have Simcha V'Tov Levav. We're not Avraham Avinus. And nobody to blame. We are Dor Yosef, we are orphans. And the reason for that is, in order to become Avraham Avinu, you have to become Avraham Avinu yourself. It's a new teaching. And it's getting there. Baruch Hashem, more and more Jews. We start learning these new issues. Who are we? What are we? I conclude, according to the big advertisement, the heavy advertisement that's so advertised here, I thought it's going to be at least 500 people. But it's, how come they're not here? So I'll tell you. In the south, in Eretz Yisrael, one of these moshavim, farming places, invited a public speaker to speak. And a certain moshav was heavily advertised, and the speech had to start 8 o'clock. He comes into the audience, one person sitting. He's waiting, 10 minutes, 50 minutes. Nobody shows up, only one person. So he says to this guy, what do you think? Should we start or should cancel? The answer is, what do you want? I don't know anything about lectures. I don't understand anything about lectures. I understand to cows. I have a stable of cows, milking. I understand to cows. I don't understand to lectures. But one thing I do know, if I come to the stable to feed my cows, and all my cows ran out, and only one cow remained, will I starve him? Will I give him food? Okay. So, I give you the lecture. He spoke for a full hour, gave up the whole lecture. Says, now I could get the feedback from the entire audience. Says, how do you like the lecture? He says, listen, I don't understand the lectures. I understand two cows. But one thing I do know, if I come to the stable to feed all my cows, and all of them ran out, and only one remained, will I give all the food for that one cow? This message should have gone through for thousands of thousands of thousands of Jews. And the Yetzer Hara will do everything it shouldn't reach there. Because this is the most important message. And I'm doing it in Shalevis over 25 years. And wherever we manage to go through, bring to this message, things turn around totally. We are wonderful Jews. We are all committed. We want to do mitzvahs and everything, but we have no energy. We have no pep. We have no fire. We have no simcha. And this is Avraham Avinu. Yitzhak will let you do everything, from out, do things, everything, but just don't be happy as a Jew. I'm going to conclude with the final words. I went around almost 20 years with Reb Shimshon Pinkas Zichrono Livracha. We made about 100 seminars together. So once we were sitting in a seminar in New Jersey, at Shabbos table, and Reb Shimshon turns to me and says, Zil, what would you do if it had been discovered you're a goy?
You're a goy.
What would you do? He said, what would I do? I'm sure I'm going to rank to convert. I'm not going to stay goy a minute. He says to me, me too. But I, before I will convert, I will hop around a goyish mitzvah. A mitzvah that only a goy could do, a Jew cannot do. What is it? I didn't know. To bring a korban. To bring a korban, to bring a sacrifice. A goy, if he was sugar enough, he could make a boma, he could make a korban. We cannot do a korban. He says to me, if it has been discovered I'm a goy, I would convert. But before I convert, first I bring a korban, then I would convert. So I told him, I know you. You learned kochim, you meshuga and karbonas. But I will give up 1,000 karbonas, but I wouldn't give up one moment not to be Jewish. I would give up the whole time, everything. A moment of a Jew is more worth than everything. He was a truthful person. He says to me, you're right, but I still wouldn't give up a karbon. He says, I'm right, but I still wouldn't give up. How come? And the answer is, everything depends on chinuch. He was raised in America. He had never a problem being Jewish. He had a problem being a good Jew. So he got chinuch how to be a Jew. How? Why to be a Jew was never an issue. And it was never an issue. He doesn't appreciate so much why to be a Jew. It's taken for granted. I grew up in Europe, in the Holocaust, before the Holocaust, after the Holocaust. I know why to be a Jew. I got chinuch to appreciate what a Jew is. Our generation never got chinuch what a Jew is, what kind of good you are, how to be Jew. Yes, be wonderful, but why to be Jewish? That's a sugya of Avraham Avinu. Once you open that up and you start learning that, you could have it. I have one of my books, you want to pick it up in the bookshop, Thoughts for a Jewish Heart. Why? How to be a Jew? Amunim B'Tochen. That's the first book. The second book is on marriage. It's very important today. It's wrote in Hebrew. It's very popular. Delimited as a curriculum in many Beis Yaakov seminaries, basic Avraham Avinu sugya. And once you learn that, and you could say honestly, sincerely, Ashreinu matev chalkeinu menim goyim nefesh, that's the teaching of Eliyahu HaNavi, you got it. After that, we got Mashiach. Hashem says, first become happy as a Jew. Make the connection to me. Then you have a problem. I can be a good. This woman becomes very excited to have such a great husband. The more happy I'm having God, the more it hurts me. Why can't I give him service? Now you're waiting for Mashiach. Hashem, we would love to give you service. I need Mashiach for that. But I love to give you service because I love you. First, you have to be happy that you love him. Then you have the right to wait for Mashiach. And he will come here to Hashem, and he will come here to Hashem.
I'd like you to wrap up this evening just introducing you one of the exciting programs that we have here in Muncie. There is a Vada Tzala, a group of men that come together once a week, and we work on certain programs, how to expand our Kiruv training here. And one of the things we focus on is called Home Model Kiruv Training, which is, as the name sounds, a person invites a few of his friends over to his house, and then a speaker comes and a teacher and teaches them how to do Kiruv. The idea is basically how to be prepared when the opportunity arises. You're in a supermarket, you're in any place where you find a non-firm Jew, you don't know what to do, and they prepare you for that moment that you should know, you should have the right words. A couple of months ago, I was in a park with my children, with my wife, and then we met over there another woman. She didn't look Jewish. She was playing with her children. And then she told my wife something about, my wife started speaking to her. She told her something about Zaidi. So my wife says, oh, you're Jewish. And my wife knew how to respond to her which was something she didn't know before. A half year ago, she didn't know how to respond to that. But since she was involved already with a Kirev training, she knew what to do. So this is basically what home model Kirev training does. It trains people to know how to respond. So I would like to share with you in a brief moment my experience with the home Kirev training and to see something that you can do as well. I got together a group of people in the area that I live. I live in Chestnut Ridge. Initially, the people that I invited I didn't think they would want to do it, but they came because, as a friend, I invited them over to my house and prepared food, which always people are excited to come. And I brought over a guy here in Munster, Daniel Korn, some of you know him. And he came over a couple of times and he taught us the essentials of Kirev. It was very exciting, and the people that didn't know anything about Kirev before, after the classes, they were very excited and very committed to start doing something and to start caring for another Jew. And what happened was that even after we finished the training, which was after a couple of weeks, I told my friends, okay, it's over, we've done it, we've finished the material, now we can go out and do it. And they said, no, we want to get together every week, and we still want to discuss and see what we can do, how we can do more about other people and about other non-firm Jews or other people that go off the derech, how we can help them. So we're still getting together every week up until this day. It's about 4 months already. We get together every week, and we speak about issues, and it's basically a little support group, which we discuss our successes, our failures, what went good, what went wrong, and we learn from each other. So it's a very exciting thing, and the best of all is since we're a group already and we speak about caring for other people, we discuss issues of Avodas Hashem, and what happens was that this group, which originally was meant to help other people, non-firm Jews, actually helped each and every one of the group that I got together. If you ask them, they will say how they grew in their own Yiddishkeit, their own Avodas Hashem, and they became better people because of that. And mainly, since all those that go through the Kirev training know that Kirev is all about love and care for another person. Eventually, if you care so much about other people, you change who you are because you become a caring person. If you become a caring person, I can say positively, you ask anyone in the group if their life at home, their shalom bayis, or their relationship with their children has changed, everybody will say yes. It's because you change who you are, you become more caring, and the love and care that you give is something that helps in all areas of life. So besides the benefit that we have, that we all started doing a lot of care for things, which I cannot go into now, I don't have the time for that, but it helped us, we were makar of ourselves and our family more into Yiddishkeit, which is a great thing. So I think it's something very wonderful and very exciting, which everybody can do. It's very easy, and if anybody needs help, there's myself and other members of the Vada Tzala that can help you set it up, that you can ask. All we need from you today is there is a little questionnaire, which is outside in the front. Some of you have got it. We need you to fill in your information, and I ask that in the name of Klal Yisrael, not only in the name of Project Inspire, please fill in that information, but in the name of Project Inspire, anybody who fills out this form, their contact information, will be going into a raffle for $36 gift certificate at Tuvius. If you check off one of the three things on the top that you want to get involved by joining a Kirev training seminar, which is the public events that Project Inspire does, or the second one is to organize a home training seminar, which I just spoke about, all you have to do is you have to say you want to do it. You want to do it, we'll help you actually do it. Or a shul leadership to help your shul get involved with Project Inspire. If you check off one of these and you win, we'll add on $18, which comes out to $54 gift certificate at Tuvius. So please, if everyone can fill this out, you'll do a great thing for Klal Yisrael. I want to finish off with one little story that happened to me this week. Last week, I got a phone call from a Heimische Chassidische Engelmann here in Muncie. And he tells me that I've heard that you're involved with Kirev. So I have a problem. I'm living in Gehenna for the past few years. I have a son that is 16 years old, and he went off to Derech. He's now 19. And, you know, it went gradually, and now he got involved with some friends that weren't doing him any good. And they involved him with some troubled activity, and he's now in great trouble. But he has legal issues. He might go to jail. So he doesn't know what to do. He's at loss. So he wants me to help him. So I told him I'm not experienced. I mean, I just got involved with Project Aspire, and I'm only trying to do a little kiruv. This is really a case for professionals. But still, one thing that I want to do is I want to care for another Jew. And since you called me, this is Shgacha Pratis that you called me, I will not put down the phone and tell you I can't help you. I will try whatever I can and try to get involved with the right people to help you. So I'm ready to meet your son and see what I can do. So he told me the problem is my son ran away. So where is he? He says, I don't know. That's the problem. Okay, first time I get such a case. And I'm thinking, what do I do? So I say, okay, I'll try my best to figure out where he is and to see if I can get people involved to help find him and see what I can do to get him back. And it was a couple of days. He called me every few hours. He called me again and cried and said whatever he had to say. And I kept trying, a little bit that I can do as an unprofessional. But I couldn't find out where the boy is. After 3 days, father calls me up again. And he tells me, so any updates? As usual, I said, no, I couldn't find him. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So he tells me these words. He tells me, Chaim, I know that you're trying your best. I know that you're doing everything you can to help me in my situation, to help my son. And I appreciate that very much. But I want you to know something. You're a man out there you're trying to help. It's my son. My son is now in a situation. The situation is so that he's in danger of getting killed by one of his friends that involved him in this situation. I'm at home. My wife is lying in bed every night. She can't fall asleep. She's crying the nights. You should see my wife's eyes. I'm a father. I want you to understand what it feels like from a father's point of view, what I feel every night and every day for the past few days since my son is gone. I don't know if my son is still alive now as I'm speaking to you. Please help me with that urgency. I don't have to tell you that I was very moved by this, and I started going a little more aggressive. I did some things that I will not say in public, but we found out where he is. He was overseas. We found out a number. We got contact. He's home, back home. When I put on the phone with that father, I heard again, Chaim, I know you do your best. You're doing everything you can, but you're not a father. I want you to understand, I'm the father of the child. I want you to feel what a father feels when he wants his child back home. And that's how I want you to do. And I'm looking at my phone. I see I put down the phone already. Who's talking to me? And I realized it's Hashem. Good night.